Our scripture this morning comes from Psalms 131, a song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. You may be seated.
Thanks, Vaughn. I'm going to do something. Something that you probably haven't had in a long time. I'm going to give you 1 full minute of silence to think about whatever you want to think about. And I'm going to set a timer for 1 minute. So if it helps for you to close your eyes to do that, or whatever it is, I'm just going to give you 1 full minute of silence to think about whatever you want to think about. Okay, ready? Begin. Okay, that was 1 minute. All right, now I'm going to give you 1 more minute of silence. And this time I want you to focus on God. For 1 full minute, focus on God. You may start to think of a scripture that means a lot to you. You may even picture yourself with God in some kind of way. It may even be like a conversation for you, listening to him. But whatever it is, I just want 1 full minute of focusing on God. We'll begin now. Lord, thank you for this 1 minute, this precious minute that we've just had with you. Thank you for the love that you show to us and for just stilling us and quieting our souls in this moment, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, now I'm interested, though. What was different about the first minute and second minute for you? This is a sharing time, okay? So I'm going to just raise your hand and I'll point to you and just share from where you're at. And don't worry, I won't bring a mic to you, but as long as you speak loud enough that we can hear, don't worry. It's going to be okay. So go ahead.
The first minute was easy. Second,
first minute was easy. Second minute might have been a little bit tougher for you. Thanks. Anyone else? Oh, that's very interesting. First minute was prayer, second was receiving. It's very interesting to hear about different people's experiences. This is good. Let's keep going.
The second minute
was
really fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true, yeah. Other people might have noticed that too, but the second minute might have felt like it went on, it was really fast, and then you kind of maybe wanted more time. Let's get a couple more. Okay, 2 full minutes and they both went too fast. Let's have one more. Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. So in a way, the first minute and the second minute went together, but God entered into the first minute, you could say. And focusing on, and that's probably what I found too, is my mind went to a list of things that, okay, I got to do this, and I got to do that after. Well, as soon as church is done, I got to go do that. Just thinking about all the stuff that I'm too busy for. And then when I finally sit down, those things rush at me. But then you think about God for a minute, and it's just different. And we heard in a bunch of ways in which that's different. That's really cool. Well, we've been taking a journey through the book of Psalms all summer long, and it's been really cool to see the breadth of the book of Psalms, because it's a prayer book, it's a song book for God's people. Any human experience that you have, all, the highest highs and the lowest lows, they are covered in the Psalms. And today we are going to be looking at Psalm 131 as we read. It's one of the shortest Psalms, but it is actually my favorite Psalm. So I'm excited to get to share about that one with you today. Share with you some things that were brand new to me that I saw in it this week. And Psalm 131 is a psalm of David. You might have heard Vaughn say that it is a song of ascents. What that means is it is one of the songs, I believe is Psalms 120 to 134 are the psalms of ascent. And what those would be used for is people would take those 15 psalms and they would read, they would pray them as they were making their way up the hill to worship at the temple. And that's why they're called the songs of ascent. As they were ascending, they were saying these psalms. So maybe the next time that you go on a hike up on the Tilson Ridge there, or just some kind of a deal, let's maybe bring a Bible, see if you can read all the Psalms of Ascent on your way up. That might be a pretty cool experiment. But the Psalms of Ascent, this one is 131, and this is a Psalm of David. It's directly from his prayer life. You know, so many of us have read about David, and we admire things about David. He was a person who was called a man after God's own heart. And many of us would aspire to be that kind of a person who they would say, hey, this is a man or a woman after God's heart. Well, that was David. And this is a window into his prayer life, a very short prayer. Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher, once said about Psalm 131, this is one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest psalms to learn. And I think he's right. David has a reason to pray this kind of a prayer. David, think of his life. He was a person who, although he was anointed to be king, there was another king already, King Saul. And so David spent a large amount of his life on the run from King Saul, who thought that David had aspirations of usurping him and becoming a king. And so we see a little bit of David's heart in that. And we also know then that David was in a lot of trouble. David was not unfamiliar with the hard, difficult things in life that we go through, maybe even more. He was on the run for his actual life. And in the midst of all that, he gave us a window into his prayer life, and he gave us Psalm 131. Let's read verse 1 together. You can open to it, Psalm 131, in your Bibles. Cool thing about the Psalms is it's right about in the middle. So Psalm 131, it's only three verses. The first verse says this, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. I'm just going to read that one more time. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. You know, as I was thinking about this verse this week, I was realizing how rarely I come before the Lord in complete humility. How rarely I lower myself when I come to the Lord and don't consider how great He is and how small I am. When I read that verse and I read about how David was so humble, it just really struck me this week that I decided that rather than talking about the first verse, I think what I'd rather do is I'd rather just lead us in a prayer. So would you join me right now in a prayer for that kind of humility? And if I'm going to go to my knees for this. If you need to do something like that, feel free to do that. Otherwise, just stay where you're seated. But let's just pray and ask the Lord for that kind of humility in our lives. Almighty God, you alone are God. There is no one else, no one else as great as you are, Lord. Lord, you are opposed to the proud. You've said over and over that you lift up the humble. And so we humble ourselves before you right now, Lord. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for the times when we have considered ourselves far too often and we've only been thinking of ourselves. Lord, the times when we have elevated ourselves so much that in the process we've lowered you in our own hearts and minds, Lord. Lord, we pray with John the Baptist and say that you must become greater and we must become less. And so we lower ourselves before you here, Lord. And we pray the way that David prayed, Lord, that our eyes are not lifted up, that our heart is not raised too high, that we don't occupy our minds with things that are too wonderful for us, things that we can't understand and comprehend. Lord, because it's with our hearts, Lord, is where our desires come from. And what our hearts desire is what our eyes look for. And what our eyes look for is what we occupy our lives pursuing. So, Lord, we want to change the things that we are pursuing. We want to change the things that we are looking at. We want to change the things that our hearts desire. We want them to be only you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, this is one of my favorite psalms. Probably my absolute favorite. I've spent so much time praying this psalm over the years when I first discovered it and trying to understand it more and trying to see this prayer life reflected in mine. And one of the things that I could never quite get my mind around was this picture that David gives us. I struggle with that idea when he says that I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. And I'm thinking to myself, what on earth does that mean? And why a weaned child with its mother? And why a weaned child? Like, why not just a little tiny baby? You know, we have lots of new little babies in our church, and I think that's really fun and really exciting. Why didn't David use a picture of one of those little babies when he's offering what his soul was like before the Lord? No, he says, like a child who is done receiving from his mother's milk and is moving on towards being a little more independent. Why in the world would he do that? And it finally struck me this week, and I want to share about that with you. One of the things that really helped this picture make sense to me is I remembered one of my favorite memories from growing up. When I was growing up, we'd be sitting in the church, and I would have been, you know, from my years, but when I would have been a weaned child, and I would lean forward in the pew, tired, and my mom would be sitting right next to me, and she'd be scratching my back, like Melanie's doing right now. And that memory is just burned in my mind. And when I think about what that was like, to just be there as my mom is scratching my back, I feel so calm. It's just a calm and quiet moment. And I thought about that with the way that David was describing this here, and I was like, yeah, I think that's what he's saying. I've stilled and quieted my soul like that time when I would sit in the pew at church and my mom would scratch my back. That is how my soul is within me. And I thought about them like, yeah, that is how I want my soul to be within me. That is how I want to be before the Lord. You know, when you think about little babies, they're so concerned with where their next meal is going to come from. And they whine and they cry and they're filled with so much anxiety because little babies don't know any better. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. But when a child is weaned, the relationship changes. And what happens is the child is no longer focused only on what it can get from its mom. Now, it just wants to be with mom. You know, David had this kind of intimacy with God. Notice in his prayer that David didn't ask for anything from the Lord. Notice that all that he wanted to do was to get close to the Lord. Some people shared that in their first minute, they were thinking about all of the things that they needed to do. And in the second minute, some people shared that they weren't thinking about anything. They were just with God. Like a weaned child with its mother. Some of you experienced that this morning. You know, when I said David was a man who is after God's heart, you know, I don't think that only means that he was a person who had a heart after God's heart, kind of like we say, oh, you know, he takes after his dad kind of thing. No, after, like David was pursuing, David was chasing God's heart. David could have asked for relief from the Lord. He could have asked for comfort. Instead, he just wanted to be with God. Because David was pursuing God's presence itself. It makes me wonder, what are you pursuing? Your prayers will tell you what you're pursuing, just like David's prayers tell us. Are you praying for blessings and safety and comfort? Or are you praying to be with God and to know him intimately, like a weaned child and its mother? Like infants, we so many times can think only of our security and pray for the blessings that we want God to give to us. But when we chase those things in our lives, our souls will be in a constant state of anxiety because we were not made for blessings. We were made for God. If you look in your bulletins, there's a quote that I put at the top. It's from Augustine, and he says this, "You have made us for yourselves, O Lord." Let me read that. "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." The Apostle Paul also had this. In Philippians 3, he talks about how he had it all. He said he was the head of his class. He said that he knew more than anyone. He had done more for the Lord than anyone. And then he said, "But I count it all as a loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord." And that's my story too, because I grew up in the church. I did all of the right things. I thought that if I followed all the rules and I memorized my Bible and I was a good kid, that would be enough. But I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know him intimately the way David knew him. Until one day, on my knees in a little junky chapel at camp, I surrendered my entire life to the Lord. And at that time, I knew Jesus. I didn't just know about him, but I knew him. And since then, I've been chasing after that. Not chasing after the things of the world. Not chasing after comfort and security. All those things are worthless to me now compared to knowing Jesus Christ. And no matter what that means that I go through, because we do know that if you chase after Jesus, if you become a disciple of his, blessings might not come your way, not in the way that you were looking for them anyways. There's a lot of preachers and a lot of churches out there that will tell you that if you follow Jesus, that everything will go well with your life. That will tell you that blessings and health and prosperity will come. But friends, that just is not what we are told. Jesus tells us that struggle will come. He tells us that the world will hate us. He tells us that there will be persecution. But Jesus is worth all of it. He's worth giving up everything for. Because I agree with the Apostle Paul, and I agree with what Augustine said, that we were made for God. We hunger and thirst to know God intimately. And when we chase after comfort and security and pleasures, we will never find satisfaction. We will only find that in knowing God. Notice how David says that he calmed his and quieted his soul. It took action on his part. Because he calmed and he quieted his soul. The next time that you sit down to pray, take this psalm and take time to be still and to know that He is God. Even if you wrestle with your soul for a long time, just to be still, even just to have 1 minute of focused time with God like what we had, is worth it. I sometimes, when I go off to pray, it will take sometimes hours to still and quiet my soul, but it is a worthwhile practice. Don't be discouraged by trying that. And also, I want you to notice how intimacy with God turned David's focus off of himself and towards others. Notice in verse 3, he says, "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." You see, when we take our eyes off of ourselves and put and onto Jesus, we start to notice each other. And we are better at loving each other when we have intimacy with God. I want to close this service in just singing that simple little chorus, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." We'll have the words on the screen here. And I just want us to sing that together. A cappella, okay. Let's sing together. "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." That's what it's all about. Turn your eyes to Jesus and all the other things. Let those grow dim, but focus your heart, your eyes, your mind on Jesus. Pursue Him. Pursue knowing Him above all other things. Receive the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.